This week, I want to interrupt. We've been doing a series called Freedom from Religion. I want to interrupt that and talk about a different topic, and we can do that because we're allowed. We're not under some denomination telling us what we have to talk about on a week-to-week basis, so that's great. But I had some conversations with folks about the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost and realized it's been a while since we've done a lesson on that, so why not now? And it's especially important for folks like my wife and people that have been victimized by the Pentecostal system and people that have come out of that. And one thing that is funny about Pentecostals is they're taught to believe so many different things about the Holy Spirit and that the Holy Spirit is going to do X, Y, and Z for them, and they know absolutely it's true, and they know you're a liar if you disagree with them. They know all that right up until the day that they figure out they've been lied to. They've been told lies to separate them from their money. And that gets you angry. And that creates a lot of quitters. So that's where we come in. We want to talk about what is God's Holy Spirit? What does it do? And how do we know what the Holy Spirit is doing or saying? And you ask questions like that. What is the Holy Spirit? What is the Holy Spirit doing? Go to 100 churches, you'll get 100 different answers. So I'm 101. Join the club. But here's why. The 100 different churches, the 100 different denominations you go to, they all pick and choose certain attributes of the Holy Spirit or certain things that the Holy Spirit's doing, and they magnify those to the exclusion of some other things. They pick what they like. And again, like everything we do in our Bible, the key is to figure out what God is doing today. Not what God did once before in history, or twice before in history, or promises to do out in future. What's God doing today? And get in line with that rather than just going in here and I'm going to find the thing I like and God's going to do that for me because I like it. That's not a very smart way to study your Bible. You don't get to boss God around. He's God, not you. So, what or who is the Holy Spirit? God's Holy Spirit. We get a little bit of definition. Reading back in Exodus 17, God had raised up Moses, and the people were opposing Moses. Or doubting, tempting. And he says in Exodus 17:7, and he called this is when he smote the rock that water would come out of it. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" So you see that that's the capital L-O-R-D, Lord. It's Jehovah God in your Bible, the Lord. Why does that matter? I thought we were talking about the Holy Spirit. Well, Hebrews talks about this very event way out in the future from when it happened in the book of Hebrews, chapter 3. Hebrews 3, 7. It was tempting the Lord, Hebrews 3, 7. Look at what that says. "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Talking about this very thing, who's talking now? It's the Holy Ghost saying, "You tempted me." But we have Bible there that said it was the Lord, Jehovah God. "When your fathers tempted me and proved me and saw my works 40 years. So, is the Holy Spirit some kind of force? Some kind of energy field that goes throughout the universe that we just need to tap in? Or is it something more than that? Look over at Acts 5. Acts 5:3, but Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep that part of the land? So Ananias is lying to the Holy Ghost. What does it say in the very next verse? Verse 4, thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. So Peter calls the Holy Ghost God. So is it some kind of just a force in the universe that we need to tap into? Or energy? Or is it God? The three are one. Isn't that what 1 John 5:7 says? The Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, the three are one. Ask me to explain that to you. The three are one. That is the description of the Godhead. We believe it. Do we fully understand it? No. You see the three being one in 2 Corinthians 13, where Paul says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. The three are one. Doing the same thing there. God's Holy Spirit is the Creator. I thought Jesus was the Creator. I thought Father God was Creator. The three are one. Didn't Genesis 1 say the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water? So you have God's Holy Spirit active in creation. You have God's Holy Spirit called God. I can give you a bunch of other references. You can have the Holy Spirit being eternal. That's an attribute of God, Hebrews 9:14. Omnipresent, everywhere. That's an attribute of God. That's Psalm 139. Omniscient, knows all things. That's an attribute of God. Omnipotent, all-powerful. That's an attribute of God. So when we run our references in our Bible, we understand that the Holy Spirit is not just some kind of force or not some kind of ghost that floats around. It's a member of the Godhead. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and the Holy Spirit dwelleth in you, if you're saved. So the three are one. The Holy Spirit is part of the resurrection. We know that God the Father resurrected Christ, Acts 4:10. We know that the Holy Spirit resurrected Christ, Romans 8:11. Let's look at that one real quick. Here it is, the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead. And we know that Christ says, I'm going to resurrect myself from the dead. So the only logical Bible-believing position you can take is 1 John 5:7, the three are one. There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Most of you probably knew that. Why did I spend so much time talking about that? What I see, and I can only go by my own experience, my own anecdotal experience, what I see is the Spirit of God, God's Holy Spirit, is presented and talked about in Christian circles by people who go to church and give money and are very nice. The Spirit of God is talked about like it's the Christian version of the Jedi Force. I feel the Spirit in here tonight. The Spirit is strong in this one. Yeah. Has anybody ever had an example, anybody talk like that where you kind of walk back like, did I just enter Star Wars? Or? But they talk about, I feel the Spirit. It's strong. The Spirit is making me. And it's like, we're talking about God here. We're not talking about your heartburn because you got a feeling in your stomach. We're talking about God. And that leads into another question. What does God's Holy Spirit do? What does He do? Again, 100 different churches, you're going to get 100 different answers. Here today, I'll be 101. What I've found is church-going people who love to say, thou shalt not take the Lord's name in vain. Why did you hear that? That guy took the Lord's name in vain. Turn that off. Those same people, the church-going people, take God, the Holy Spirit's name in vain all the time. Oh, I never heard that. Have you ever heard people who had, maybe you've had a friend, you know, the kind of people that are just dreamers. They've always got an idea. They've always got a plan or a thought of something I'm going to do. And God, I know that God's Spirit wants me to do this. Huh? This is like your 40th crazy idea. 39 of them haven't worked out, and 38 of them were pretty ridiculous. But now you're going to say God's Spirit gave you the idea. Oh, so I got to get on board with that, right? Because now you brought God into the equation. That's kind of vain, isn't it? Did you hear voices? Did a message come from heaven? Oh, no, I just feel it. Okay. I've had people in my life invoke God's Holy Spirit to support the craziest, most superstitious things. Everybody's stitious to some degree or another. You may be a little stitious or superstitious, but bringing God's Holy Spirit into that, huh? How about laziness? I'm not going to do anything about that. I prayed and God's Spirit told me He's going to fix that. Really? You've always been lazy, but now you got the God stamp of approval on your laziness because you said the Holy Spirit. Okay. Outright ridiculous behavior is blamed on God's Holy Spirit, and that is vain. If the Holy Spirit is the Lord and the Holy Spirit is God, and you're making up stories about it, that's what that is. You're taking the Lord's name in vain. The fruit of the Spirit is all godliness, righteousness, and truth, correct? So if somebody says, God's Holy Spirit told me to do this, or revealed that to me, or wants me to go here, or wants me to do that, we should hear out of that person's mouth, godliness, righteousness, and truth, correct? Has anybody ever had somebody say that God's Holy Spirit was leading them to do something that was sinful? I have. I've heard it. God's Holy Spirit led me to commit fraud, to accomplish this good purpose. God's Holy Spirit told you to lie and steal. Huh. God's Holy Spirit told me to do something sinful in this interpersonal relationship. Really? God's Holy Spirit told you to commit adultery. Huh. Is that righteousness, godliness, and truth? No, it's taking the Lord's name in vain. It's you've made your decision, you've made your plans, you're going to do something regardless of whether God's on board, so you're just going to bring God's Holy Spirit in with you. And you don't think that, hey, maybe God's Holy Spirit doesn't want to be involved in my sin activity. Preachers who don't want to take time to prepare messages, you know what they do? They buy a Thompson Chain reference Bible that has a lot of chains of verses together where you can just kind of throw out a message on the fly, and they say, I'm just going to let the Spirit lead today where God's going to take me. And suddenly the Spirit leads him to where the chain of verses is. What about if I wanted to beat up on people today? And I'm sick of whatever's going on, and I want this activity to stop in our assembly. What do? I stand up here, God's Holy Spirit laid this message upon my heart today, people. And God's Holy Spirit gave me the word last night. Anybody going to disagree with me now? Because I just brought Team God up here. So now if you disagree with me, you're fighting against God. That's vain. The truth is, the preachers who do that, they were mad about something, and they went and got their message together because they were mad about something. It wasn't that God miraculously came into their bedroom in the middle of the night and said, "Pastor Bob, here is your word for tomorrow morning." That didn't happen. But people, nice church-going people, blame God's Holy Spirit for sinful choices, unwise choices, bad business decisions, and ridiculous behavior in church. If that's not taking the name of Almighty God in vain, I don't know what is. When I hear people doing that, now that I've thought about these things and studied these verses out, when I hear somebody say, "The Spirit of God told me X, Y, and Z," and you know absolutely the Spirit of God told them nothing of the sort, I hear GD. That's what I hear. You're taking the Lord's name in vain. Same thing. I've seen videos of churches where people are falling down on the floor, dancing around, running around, screaming, laughing, rolling around like animals. I almost brought a video in today, a compilation of Benny Hinn's greatest hits. Somebody put a heavy metal song, the song's called Bodies. And the chorus, the guy keeps saying, "Let the bodies hit the floor, let the bodies hit the floor." And it's just a compilation of him waving his suit coat at people or doing his magic Jedi powers and people falling down. And they say that's God the Holy Spirit? You can find that stuff in pagan religions. All it is the power of suggestibility. You went there knowing what you were going to get, believing that it was real, and suddenly when it was your turn to come up in front of the holy man, you get to fall down too. That's God the Holy Spirit? I remember when I was dating my wife, and she was still Pentecostal. I think she was watching it on TV. I came into her apartment, and she had, I think it was Benny Hinn on TV. And I walked in and I said, "You know, what are you watching that lion jerk for?" And she jumped back to get away from me because she knew that lightning bolt was coming through the roof any second. I had spoken against the Lord's anointed. No, I called out a liar and a thief for what he was. But she was still under the spell of people claiming that God's Holy Spirit is doing or saying different things. You don't need God's Holy Spirit to fall on the floor, bark like a dog, and act like an animal. You don't need God's Holy Spirit for that. Did you ever notice the only place you ever see people being slain in the Spirit like that is in church? Nobody ever gets slain in the Spirit when they're having a job interview, do they?
"Why do you think you'd be a good fit for our company, Mr. Fred?"
Well, that never happens, right?
"Sorry, I just got slain in the Spirit. It's a power I have. It may be an asset to your company."
That never happens. The only place you'd be caught dead acting like that is in a church building where people have told you to do that, and they claim that that's God's Holy Spirit moving. One of the other things I know, people who talk the most about the Holy Spirit. We've all known people.
"I don't believe you people have the Holy Ghost. You don't even talk about the Holy Ghost."
All they do is talk about the Holy Ghost. But what did Christ say about the Holy Ghost when he came? Did the Holy Ghost say the Holy Ghost is going to empower you to talk about the Holy Ghost all the time? That's not what the verse says, right? Christ says, "When the Comforter comes, he will testify of me." So the people full of the Holy Ghost should be talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Rather than talking about the Holy Ghost. Picky, picky. Bible verses don't match with what's popular. Being slain in the Spirit is biblical, though. We read the verse in Acts, Ananias and Sapphira. They got slain in the Spirit. And the men carried their bodies out and buried them. You don't want to be slain in the Spirit. Peter said unto her, How is it that you have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. That's a bad day. So what does the Holy Spirit do? Wrong question. What does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit has done lots of different things throughout human history, throughout God's dispensations. The Holy Spirit has done tons of different things. So what does he do? That's not the right question. Is what does he do today? We've talked about Ezekiel 36, Jeremiah 31, when we look at Israel getting their supernatural empowerment of God's Holy Spirit. And how suddenly they are able to keep the law. They promised back in Exodus 19, yeah, we'll do that, God. Didn't do it for a day in their history. Didn't keep that law. Then the rest, this whole big chunk of your Bible here is them failing. But we know that God's Holy Spirit enables them to keep the law. Ezekiel 36 says, I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. So, whoa! Suddenly, Israel, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, is empowered to keep the law. That's 613 points, not just the 10 starter pack. 10 commandments, plus the rest of the 613. That's God's Holy Spirit is going to empower them to do that. What about us? God's Holy Spirit, us, in the body of Christ, teaches us we're not under the law. So for them, God's Holy Spirit empowers them to walk in the statutes and keep the judgment. God's Holy Spirit teaches us today in Galatians 5, if you're led of the Spirit, Galatians 5:18, you're not under the law. Those seem to be a bit different. Can we do both? On one hand, I'm keeping all the law and doing it. On the other hand, you're not under it. Those things are different. So it's the wrong question to ask is, what has the Holy Spirit done? It's, what is he doing today? I'd love to have this ministry of the Holy Spirit in my life. For Israel, let's see if I can spell this. Extemporaneous speaking ability. No preparation, no thought, no outline, no verses. Steve, we need you up front. And suddenly I can give a perfectly eloquent presentation of whatever I need. That'd be nice. Save me a lot of time. God's Holy Spirit gives certain people in your Bible that power. Christ told them, when they shall bring you in the synagogues and unto magistrates and powers, take no thought how or what thing ye shall answer or what ye shall say. You get called up in front of the court, you get called up in front of the judge, do not even waste a minute of your time thinking about what you're going to say. Why? For the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say, what you ought to say. Wow. Is anybody getting that ability today? I heard there's a radio host, Glenn Beck. He put together these big rallies. He was going to save the country a few years back. And he's a Mormon, so he dabbles in the Bible a little bit. And he was talking on his show about, you know, I'm going to be standing up in front of a million people in Washington. I don't know what I'm going to say yet. And a person called in and said, don't worry about it, Glenn. Here's this verse. God's Holy Spirit will tell you what to say, so don't even prepare in that same hour. Gladly for Mr. Beck, he did not listened to the caller's advice. He got a speech together, but that's not happening for people today. It did happen in your Bible for New Testament Israel. We see it in Acts 4. Peter gets called, just like he said, in front of magistrates, in front of powers, in front of the priests, and he gives this marvelous defense. In Acts 4:13, it says, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." So stupid, ignorant, unschooled fishermen stand in front of the high court of Israel and mow them down with their speech. How did that happen? "When they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And they could say nothing against the man that Peter had healed." So that's how it happened in your Bible. What does God tell us to do? Study. Boo. Who wants to study? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. That's not fun. Can we go back to just give me what I need to say in the same hour? Study. God's Holy Spirit tells me to study. I'm the temple of God's Holy Spirit, and I'm told I have to learn. Titus 1:9 says, "Holding fast the faithful word as he hath been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers." That's not the same thing. It's being taught by somebody, learning slowly, putting verses together. It's not the instantaneous zap. So I can claim that. I can claim this is God the Holy Spirit's promise to me, and I'd be completely 180 degrees wrong of what God's Holy Spirit wants me, but I found it in the Bible. Or I can claim I have this power, and then you'll listen to me talk for an hour, and you'll say, "He doesn't have that power." I can claim to have this, and not do the study, and not do the learning, and I'll be in opposition of what God's Holy Spirit is doing today. What about, "I heard a word from the Lord. God's Spirit told me such and so." Can I find that in the Bible? Yeah. Acts 1:16 says, "The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake." By the mouth of David spake before concerning Jesus. Isn't that something? David, the murdering adulterer. You're standing there listening to this king, committed adultery, arranged for the woman's husband to die in battle. Oopsie. And you'll hear him talk. And the Bible says that when he was speaking, when he said these things, you are hearing none other than God speaking. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. It should tell you it's not about the human instrumentation. It's about God and what he says. But when somebody tells me the Holy Spirit told me X, Y, and Z, or God's Spirit revealed such and so to me, do you know what you should be doing? Don't let them keep talking. Stop. Let me go find a pen. I've got a blank page here in my Bible. What did the Holy Spirit say to you? That's what they're claiming. They're claiming to have direct divine revelation from God. The same thing that came upon all 40 men that wrote this entire Bible. That's what they're claiming. But we don't think about it like that because it's just so flippant. The Holy Spirit, yeah, whatever. Holy Spirit told you such and so. They're claiming to have divine revelation from God. They're claiming to be getting more Bible. So be aware of that. Didn't Paul say he was the last of all to see him? You and I are included in the all. So are your Pentecostal friends. They're included in the all. Paul says last of all was him. What about miraculous powers? Just go to the Benny Hinn show, right? Did God's Holy Spirit give people miraculous powers throughout history?
Yeah.
Christ said to his disciples in Acts 1, "Ye shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you." Two chapters later, I've got old Peter, old cussing, ear-cutting off Peter, denying Christ three times by the campfire Peter. He's walking to a guy who's been sick his whole life. In the name of Jesus, get up and walk. Huh? Notice he didn't say in the name of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, rise up and walk. That's real. That's powerful. And the people in the temple could not deny. Everybody knows this guy. Everybody knows that this is real. This is not somebody we brought in on the wheelchair. And, oh, look, he's sick. He can't walk. And suddenly he can walk. No, everybody knew this guy. Instantaneously healed. That's a little bit better than faking a seizure or blabbering on the floor. Did you ever notice that the faith healers always start their meetings at Children's Hospital in whatever city they go to? And they go into Children's Hospital and they go into the cancer ward and they find all the little bald little boys and girls that are suffering from cancer and leukemia. And the first thing they do is they heal these children first, right? Then they have their meeting where they take your money. Oh no, wait, they don't do that, do they? The faith healing churches have handicapped parking spaces. Handicapped parking spaces. Why not just have one of their spirit-filled attendants wait out in the parking lot? And rather than having to waste all that time wheeling in your granny in there in the wheelchair, just say, "Hey, granny, walk in on your own power. You're healed. Come on in." That doesn't happen, does it? That's the kind of healing I see in my Bible when the Holy Spirit's involved with it. Instantaneous, complete. We didn't even need you to write your check yet. The Spirit of God, even at the beginning of our dispensation, gave supernatural abilities to people. We talked about that when we were looking at Ephesians on Thursday night. The Holy Spirit gave gifts to, in 1 Corinthians 12, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. If you have the gift of healing and you're trying to preach Christ, wouldn't the best place you could go be the Children's Hospital? Call up the Beacon Journal. Call up Channel 3. Call up the repository. Hey, news release. I will be at Children's Hospital at 4 p.m. on Tuesday. I'm going to heal every child in the cancer ward. In the name of Jesus Christ. One news agency may show up. And then you do it. That would be real. But the stuff you see people claiming to be doing things in the name of God the Holy Spirit is lies and fraud designed to separate you from your money. He gave some the work, the power of working of miracles. Another prophecy, foretell the future. Another discerning of spirits, another different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. This is not blibber blabber, hasta la shandai. This is suddenly you wake up one day and you can speak fluent Mandarin Chinese. Whoa, that's new. That's a real tongue. Suddenly, I know Russians. You know, it's like that movie The Matrix when they plug them into the machine. And he wakes up, "I know Kung Fu." That's the kind of gift, the supernatural ability that the Holy Spirit has done in the past. Is he doing that today? No. Not today in the dispensation of God's grace. So I can find the Holy Spirit doing all kinds of stuff, but I can't seem to get him to do much in that way for me. How about a not fun one? The Holy Spirit can leave you. He can come and he can leave. Ooh, we don't like that. Remember with Saul, King Saul? God's Holy Spirit came upon King Saul and suddenly he had all the power of God's Spirit on him. And then one day, after he got done disobeying one too many times, 1 Samuel 16:14, the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. When I was a kid, we used to sing a song that was taken out of Psalm 51. It says, "Cast me not away from thy presence, take not thy Holy Spirit from me." So suddenly, when everybody reads verses like that, suddenly everybody becomes dispensational. Says, no, wait a minute. Isn't there a verse in there somewhere that says the Holy Spirit seals me until the day of redemption? Isn't there a verse in there that the Holy Spirit guarantees me eternal life? You see how when we come to our Bible, we come as a selfish thing? We want sealed to the day of redemption, and we want the miracles. We want sealed to the day of redemption, and we want the superpowers. Selfish. That's why I said the right thing is, what is God's Holy Spirit doing or saying to you, to me? We treat God, the Holy Spirit, I've seen it treated almost like it's an excitable little pet. We just got to get the power of the Spirit moving in here. We got to get the music going. We got to get the dancing going. And then the Spirit's going to come. It's not Fido. God's Holy Spirit is not the little dog that you get excited to jump in the air and do tricks for you. It's God. He speaks. He has a will. He's involved in creation. He's involved in resurrection. He's involved in your salvation. He's not your little spirit toy. In Acts 8:29, it says, "The Spirit said to Philip," said, spoke words. It wasn't some magic feeling, and Philip got a thrill up his leg. It was, "The Spirit said to Philip, go to that chariot." People want to be full of the Spirit. People that claim to be full of God's Spirit are generally ignorant of God's Bible. I know that from experience. You know why? They're not told to study. They're not told to learn. They're told, the Spirit's just going to tell you. You know those people full of the Spirit in your Bible generally got killed? I want to be full of the Spirit. Yeah, remember Stephen? In the early part of Acts, he was full of the Spirit. They threw rocks at him until his skull caved in and he was dead. Anybody want to sign up? Full of the Spirit, sign up table. What we know with God telling us today, we have to study and learn, is if you want to be full of God's Holy Spirit, it's not going to come upon you in some magical way. Instantaneous way, like God did with certain people throughout history. You study Colossians 3. You study Ephesians 5. You want to be full of the Spirit, you need to be full of this. Studying this. Filled with the Spirit equals filled with the Word. Did the Holy Spirit suddenly, instantaneously fill people in my Bible? Yeah, I can find it in my Bible. I can find it in Acts 2. They made no effort. They were sitting in a room. Suddenly, God's Holy Spirit came in, filled all of them. But what does God tell me today? I've got to make an effort to be filled with God's Spirit. Ephesians 5. So what does the God's Holy Spirit do for me then? If he's not my pet, if he's not the Jedi Force, if he's not, you know, if I'm not the Holy Spirit's foreman, what does God's Holy Spirit do for me? Here's the hard thing. Most of what God's Holy Spirit does for you and for me, you don't feel it and you can't see it. So that means it's not real, right? Wrong. Just because I can't feel something or see something, does that mean it's not real? I've never seen or felt Neptune. Is it real? Is it a planet out there? I've never seen or felt Donald Trump. Never shook his hand, never saw him in person. There's some alleged guy on TV that we see that's the Trumpster. Does that mean he's not real? The moment that you choose to trust the gospel, the moment you choose to believe that Christ died for your sins, God's Holy Spirit does all kinds of stuff that you can't see or feel. You would not know about it if you talk to the people who were filled with the Spirit who are ignorant of their Bibles. You know about it from God's Word. And knowing things and studying things, it's so important in our day-to-day lives. It's so much more powerful than feelings. Why? I've got feelings. Some of you are like, huh? I've got feelings. And here's what I know about my feelings. They are fickle liars. One day I'm feeling good. The next day I'm feeling bad. What changed? In reality, between those 2 days, nothing. My feelings changed. The Bible is truth and it's not subject to our feelings. What does God, the Holy Spirit, do for you? Did you know that when you are saved, when you trust the gospel, you get baptized and you didn't even feel it? You didn't find a tank of water anywhere? No preacher and waiters waiting for you? The instant you trust the gospel, you get baptized. Who did that? God's Holy Spirit baptizes you. For by one Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been all made to drink into one Spirit. I didn't feel that. I was sitting alone in my bedroom as a young boy, trying to sort out salvation, when I finally decided I needed to trust Christ's blood, and that's really all I had going for me, is trust His payment for me. I closed my eyes and went to sleep. I didn't feel God's Holy Spirit illuminate my dead spirit. I didn't feel Him baptize me into this entity called the body of Christ. None of that. Did it happen? Does God look at me as baptized into Christ today? Uh-huh. Didn't see it, didn't feel it. 1 Corinthians 6:11, I've got the Holy Spirit of God washing me, sanctifying me, and justifying me. 1 Corinthians 6:11, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I didn't realize I walked into a court of God's judiciary.
Case number 42755, Stephen Yoke. I see your file here. I see the charges. I see the payment. Stephen Yoke, you are justified. You are sanctified. It's just as if you'd never sinned. You are clean and holy in the eyes of a righteous God. You may go.
Didn't happen in my bedroom. Didn't feel it. Didn't see it. But in the court of the Godhead, that transaction took place by God's Holy Spirit. Does that count for anything? I know I didn't fall down on the floor and bark like a dog today, but God's Holy Spirit doing that for me, I'll take that. The Holy Spirit of God renews me, by Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We looked at this when we studied Ephesians. You start off three-part being, dead spirit, and a soul that can choose your body that's dead in trespasses and sins. That's a problem. God's Holy Spirit comes into you, quickens, makes alive your spirit, and judicially kills the body. So now I've got a soul that can choose spiritual things. Does that count for anything? Romans 8:8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. So I'm not dead anymore, I'm alive. But wait, there's more. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. So I'm as good as dead, buried, and resurrected in heavenly places according to God's Spirit, what He did for me. Didn't feel it, didn't see it. I'll take it, though. You're getting wild back there. Did you know that the Holy Spirit enables you to have a relationship with God at all? You could not have a relationship with God without God's Holy Spirit? Galatians 4:6 says, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That's a better deal than Israel had when Christ taught them how to pray. How did Christ teach Israel how to pray? Our Father, which art in heaven. I'm a member of the nation Israel. God is the Father of Israel. Our Father, national Israel. God says to you, you can look at God and say, my dad, my father, Abba Father. Who's the only other person in the Bible before us that could talk to God in that way? The Lord Jesus Christ. And now you're in Christ if you're saved. So you can say, not our Father, not the great God in the sky, my Father. That's a big deal. The Holy Spirit does that for you. And by the way, you wouldn't know any of this if the Holy Spirit had not inspired these words and wrote them down for you and preserved them. The Holy Spirit gives you a guaranteed position of eternal life in heavenly places. Guaranteed. Not, I better keep doing well or the Holy Spirit's going to leave me. Guaranteed. We looked at that when we studied Ephesians 2. You're sealed till the day of redemption. We studied that. How about the Holy Spirit helps fix your bad prayers? I never pray any bad prayers. Does everybody pray for exactly the right thing according to the will of God? No, we do our best, right? We tell God our desires, our thoughts. But look what God's Holy Spirit does for you. You're still in Romans 8. Look down at 25. I said you didn't see it or feel it. Look at what this first verse in Romans says, Romans 8:25. If we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. It's not this deal where suddenly, I don't need to hope, I don't need to wonder, I don't need to think, I don't need to wait by faith. It's bam! I woke up this morning, I love my neighbor as myself. That's never happened for one of us a day in our lives. I guarantee that. I love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. We hope for what we see not. Then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Likewise, in the same way, meaning you can't see it. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Why do you hear people groaning in church and making weird guttural sounds in Pentecostal churches? They get it from verses like this. But the verse says, groanings which cannot be uttered. What are they doing? They're uttering them. Oops. And then what is this? He searcheth the hearts. He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. We don't know what to pray for as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes on our behalf. We talk about miracles. And yeah, we're not going to get the power for an extemporaneous speech today. We're not going to get the power to go clear out Children's Hospital. It's not happening. God's not operating according to that program right now. But He does have a power, and we'll finish with this. You want to talk about power? Look at Galatians 5:22. We study our condition in our sin. We talked about it when we studied the book of Ephesians, talking about what we do naturally, what we do in our flesh naturally. We got a list here in Galatians. What do we do naturally? Oh, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, rites, strafe, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. That's you and me in our natural state. That's how we're born into sin, born into Adam. By the power of God's Holy Spirit, those people that do that kind of stuff naturally, what happens to them? Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. That's power. If you know, a lot of you haven't known me for that long, but if you know me, and you say, well, I saw some love in Steve today. I saw some joy in him today. I saw some peace in him today. I saw some meekness in him today. I saw some temperance in him today. That's a miracle. That's the fruit of God's Holy Spirit working through His Word. Because I look at that list, that's not me. Put me in the previous columns. I'm the guy in those verses, but the fruit of God's Spirit, according to not learning, you're not under the law, studying, learning the material, having God's Word resident in you and work out in you, you get that kind of stuff show up. Love, joy, peace. It's not as flashy as a miraculous healing, but it's still a miracle, if you know me. So that's just a kind of a brief overview on God's Holy Spirit there, and you could go many different ways and many different angles with it, but it's important to know what he is doing and what he isn't doing. I hope that helped a little bit. Does anybody have any thoughts?